Well, I tell you, I'm so glad to continue on with this study of Hebrews. I kind of, most of the books we've studied, we've kind of gone through them and got, but Hebrews is sort of a very slow walk. And it'll give us one verse, and in that verse, there's sometimes hundreds of years of history in one verse. And we've read it over the years and just read through it, and rarely have we really stopped to go back and say, well, what is this verse talking about? And then you go back, and then you begin to look in Genesis and Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus, and you see that there are entire stories in people's lives that are represented many times in just one verse in Hebrews, because they're giving us examples here in chapter 11 about faith. It starts out, this is such a powerful chapter. I've heard folks say, well, Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith hall of fame. And then folks have gone with that and say, well, this is what faith is, and this is how you work in faith, and what we've been taught about faith is nothing at all like what the examples that we are receiving even in the book of Hebrews. Because faith comes from God. Faith does not come from you, but God gives you the faith. So yeah, faith is real, and we can walk in faith and walk by faith and speak by faith and live by faith, but we must make sure that it's initiated from the proper source, which is God. So we won't go down some rabbit trail trying to make something happen. And then if you're not careful, you're beginning to work in magic and witchcraft of the flesh, and start having things. You say, wow, look, it worked. I must be moving in faith. Look at that. And you're so far away from faith until you don't. And next thing you know, you've got some evil thing crawling up next to you and whispering all kinds of weird things to you. And you wonder, where'd that come from? Why am I thinking like that? And you wind up tied up and wrapped up. And you find that if you ever get free from that, that it did not come from God. Now, I'm talking from experience. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm talking from about me. And I've had God tell me. He said, I did not tell you to do that. I've heard that. And I'm like, man, how could I miss you? Well, you did. So slow me down in a lot of ways, y'all, in a lot of ways. So we're in Hebrews. The faith chapter today. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you today for your wonderful, wonderful grace. We thank you for this word that you have for us today. Help us to hear you and to receive from your loving and giving hand. Father, get me out of the way and get those that hear out of the way so we can hear your pure truth. All we want to hear is your pure truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be spending some time again in the Old Testament, but our scripture text today is Hebrews 11, 30 and 31, and we're going to open that up as best as we can. It says in Hebrews 11, 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. That's all it tells us in Hebrews. But there's a whole lot behind that. You know, the life of Moses blends right into the life of a leadership that would come in the next generation through the man Joshua. After leaving Mount Sinai, there are a number of events that are recorded among these particular things. And some of the events, once they left, is the people complained at one time out there, and God sent fire. This was after they got out of Egypt, and they were still outside the promised land. They were between Egypt and the promised land. Moses tells God that he wasn't able to care for all these people alone, so God gives Moses 70 men to help. And again, they complain because they had no flesh to eat. And so God sends them quail to feed over 2 million people for 1 month. 2 million people. For 1 month, he sends quail. And at one point, he said, I'll give them flesh until it comes out their nose. One time, Moses' sister, Miriam, the same one that pulled him out of the bulrushes, complained against him, and she was struck with leprosy for 7 straight days. So, you know, she shouldn't be talking against God's man. going to be talking against Moses now. God's got his hand on Moses here. He sends 12 spies into the land of Canaan. They're getting ready to conquer the land of Canaan. When the 12 spies came back, 10 of them said, "It's everything that God said it is. It's a beautiful land. It flows with milk and honey, like he said." They brought a sample of the grapes. They had to carry it between themselves on a big giant stick. The grapes were so big. But they said, "There's only one problem. There's some giants over there in that land. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And so are we in our own sight. We can't do it. We can't take the land." But two of the 12 said, "Oh yes, we can. Let's go in now and take the land. They are bred for us, Joshua and Caleb. They're bred for us. We can do it." But they got outvoted, and they did not go in to take the land. And so Israelites are told that they're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness because they did not trust God to take them into the land. That generation stayed. A lot is said about the children of Israel during their 2 years in the wilderness, but not much is said about the 38 years after that period. Go on and turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 7. "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years. Until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them." 40 years in that generation marched around the wilderness because of the disobedience to not go in and obey God. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19, it says, "Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they shall go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not." It can be seen in these particular verses here that God was always with the children of Israel. He was leading them with the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. We can see that the people were blessed, that they lacked nothing. They were always had water, and they always had food, and none of their clothing wore out. Not even their shoes, for 40 years. He took care of them, even though they had disobeyed him. Amen. Come on. Look. He still took care of them. They weren't going into the promised land. They had already said that they couldn't go because they looked too small in their own sight. So he said, "Well, this generation will stay in this wilderness until they die, and then the next generation will go in." You know how we are. They said, okay, we change our mind. No, it's too late. You have to go in and trust me. But the good news for them is that God still fed them. He still took care of them. And he kept their clothing so that it didn't wear out. Their shoes for 40 years. I got good 2-3 years. On a pair of shoes, and it's time to get some more. But for 40 years, the shoes didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell. I mean, God's blessing and providence was still on them. We're going to go to Numbers 27. That's a long time to be blessed of God. Well, let me ask you, are you blessed of God? You know, it kind of came to me today. You know, we all have our little physical little things that's dealing with us. But, you know, I believe some of our autopsies, and it sounds a little morbid, but I believe that some of the doctors are going to find some phenomenal things in our autopsies. They're going to see things and say, wait a minute. This shouldn't be this healthy. This should have been deteriorated by now. What in the world? How did this maintain? See? Now, you and I both know that some of us should have been dead and gone a long time ago. A long time ago. But God has preserved us for such a time as this. Now, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know what God is telling me. Amen. So, I think He's still working and He's still blessing us and still keeping us. Before he died, Moses reminded the people that what the Lord had done for them. And the whole book of Deuteronomy is a record. It's a record of what he said. And we read that the Ten Commandments, again in Deuteronomy 5, that came. And then he went up into the mountain and he looked into the promised land. But he didn't go in. God said, you won't go in because Moses disobeyed God one time. Aren't you so glad that we're under a new covenant, built upon better promises? Imagine if we got saved and we messed up one time. You say, that's it, you're not going to heaven. Well, I tell you, I've been in a couple of churches where they say you ain't going to heaven. You're in sin and you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. And it's like, my goodness, just that quick? Man, anyway. I'm so glad that we are where we are because we're not held to that standard because we're living by a different standard, and it's a person, and his name is Jesus. Now, Numbers 27, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this mount of Bairam, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shall be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that the water of Meribah and Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. In Deuteronomy 34, and this is the story of Moses and his end, I'm bringing us up to today's verses, but we want to kind of follow a little bit about what happened after they came out of Egypt and what went on in the wilderness so we could kind of fill it in. There's no way in the world we could in 20-30 minutes fill in the whole story, but we could put some pieces together. Deuteronomy 34, starting in verse 1. Moses went up from the plains of Moab into the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. Remember Jericho? And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. So God was showing him the different parcels of land there. And the south, and the plains of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees. Wow, a city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Never went in. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. One person said that the reason they don't know it is because God buried him and resurrected him later. And he mentions in Jude 19 where Satan and Michael wrestled for the body of Moses. I don't know how true that is. It's sort of a, they'd have a shrine to him somewhere. 34:7 says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. In other words, there was nothing wrong with him. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. Moses was a great man. It said he was a very meek man. Our scripture, Hebrews 11, again, 30 and 31 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We're going to turn over to Joshua chapter 1. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. By faith. This is a wonderful. It's two verses in Hebrews, but it alludes to a beautiful story of faith in the Old Testament period. Joshua 1, many of us are familiar with Joshua chapter 1. And so we come up to after the death of Moses. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. He had taken Moses, and now he's beginning to speak to Joshua. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only, he says now, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And once again, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Here is the attribute. Be strong. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. Don't be dismayed. We're talking about faith now. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Examples now, because they're saying by faith this happened. Jericho was a frontier town. It was the key city into the entrance into the promised land of Canaan. It was the key city. Its capture was absolutely necessary before the progress could be made by Israel. They had to conquer Jericho in order to inherit the promised land of Canaan. Jericho was the first one, the first city they had to get in. failure to capture that would only discourage the children of Israel, and then it would embolden the rest of the children, people of the land, and the Canaanites. So they had to go in through Jericho. It was the enemy's leading stronghold, Jericho, and it was considered quite invulnerable. It was considered invincible. But you know what? After Joshua got his instructions, he wasted no time. There in Joshua 2, he wasted no time. He prepared the people. And remember, he was one of the 12 that came back and said, quiet, let's go in right now. They're bred for us. We can take them. Same one. Look at how quick Joshua moves. After God speaks to Joshua, he swings into action. He don't say, well, Lord, let's talk about this a little bit. Are you sure we should go that way? How about we do this? Well, maybe next week we can. He started getting ready. Y'all listen here. Here's a principle here. When God tells you to do it, do it. And as I've said many times, when God tells you to do something, money is no object. You might not have money, but money's still no object. Y'all listen to me now. Don't make money. Don't say, when I get $50 more, then I can do what God told me to do. You're not going to do what God told you to do if you don't get started right now when he tells you to do it. And in your going, he sent Peter to go fishing to get money for tribute. We're going to pay tribute, Peter. Go and catch a fish. He didn't have no money. Jesus didn't have none on him. Otherwise, he would have peeled it off to Peter. Peter didn't have it on him. Otherwise, he'd say, Peter, go in your pocket and go pay. He said, go fishing. And the first fish that you take up, go and pay our tribute or our taxes. A matter of fact, don't just pay yours. Pay mine also. He caught enough in that fish's mouth to pay taxes for two men. And so, when God tells you this, and tells you to do something, tells you to go somewhere, get up and start packing your bags. Get your piece of paper and figure out, I'll say, Lord, what's step one and what's step two? And which way should I go in? You just tell me where to place my feet. And don't be going, Angie, you know, the Lord said this to me. What you think? Angie's going to say, well, she's going to tell you what she thinks. And that's all you're going to get is what she thinks. See? Because you know why? Because God ain't said nothing to her. It's about what he told you. And please don't go check with your mama. Because I respect everything my mama has ever told me. But when God tells me something, mama, I don't need to go talk to mama about it. Because mama's going to tell me everything that will protect me from any kind of danger, any possible foreseeable problem. She's going to try to steer me around it. So we respect mom and we love mom. But tell mom about it afterwards. After God has wrote this great work. And then when she comes asking, you say, well, mom, let me tell you a story. Yesterday morning, or last Thursday, or last Monday, the Lord spoke to me. Oh, he did? Yeah, and let me tell you what he told me to do. And this is the result of it. So mom just have to say, well, amen. Amen. God indeed has spoken to you. Amen. That's faith, y'all. Get up and do it. Don't be looking for opinions, because the opinions will, well, that's good. That sounds really good. That's real good. But what are you going to do about gas money? What are you going to do about food? Oh, well, before you finish, you're like, well, that's good. That's a good idea. Maybe I better wait. So then he's going to go and tell Bill to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua wastes no time. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out to Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. They go into the house of a prostitute. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, look, behold, there came men in here tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I won't not, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Now this account goes, Rahab not only protected the two spies, but also advised them on how to evade those that were pursuing them. She also made a remarkable statement about God in Joshua 2:11. She says, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." A harlot. Your Lord, the Lord your God, He is God in heaven and earth. She just got saved. She just got saved. He's God in heaven and earth. And then she forged a covenant with the two spies. She said, "Now save me and my family alive when you return." She knew they were coming back. In other words, look out for us. To which the men agreed. They said, "Our life for your life." That's what they said. "Our life for your life. If you keep this secret. When we invade this city, kindness will be shown to you and everyone that's in your house." She was told to tie a scarlet thread and hang it out of the same window that they escaped through. So when the spies reported this to Joshua, they gave this report in Joshua 2:24. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered unto our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." You remember that song? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Amen. Yes, sir. Jericho fell to a people who possessed no artillery. They just did what God told them to do. There wasn't any battle being fought when those walls fell. And all they did was they responded to the order of God. And it was to march by faith around the city, once each day for 6 days, and on the seventh day to march around it 7 times before those walls would fall flat. So I don't know how much fighting our Joshua song is singing about, and I've sung it from a child. That Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and because of his fighting, the walls came tumbling down, actually. God knocked them walls down, y'all. Joshua 6. And as I studied, I was trying to find ways to shortcut this, but I can tell you that we need to see this in the Old Testament. Some of us are never going to go back and read it again, so we might as well get this today, and it'll be yours to have forever. Joshua 6:127. God instructs Joshua on Jericho, and Joshua obeys. Verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. Nobody went out, and nobody came in. They were shut down. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, all the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city," that means surround it, "all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. The 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns, and 7 days. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." I'm going to stop here and I have a little story to share with you from Miami. Before we moved here in 1989, we had a townhouse in Miami, and we needed to get rid of that townhouse and buy a house here. We had 6 months to do this whole thing, to sell a house, buy a house, and be moved to Tallahassee, 6 months. Only in the last 2 months did we come here to look for a house. But meanwhile, that townhouse was not selling on the market. So I was praying one night, and this story came to me about Joshua. And I got my wife and my sister-in-law and our little children. And I say, y'all, we're going to march around this property. What did we do? Was it seven times? Or I think it was, we marched around seven times. It was raining. Had a little lap. Somebody had a little baby they was carrying. We was marching around. We marched seven times. And the seven times I say, all right, let's give the Lord praise. And we started praising the Lord and glory to God. Thank God. This townhouse is going to be sold. It's going to be taken care of in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, man. And do you know that thing sold? It got sold before it was over. I think the townhouse was sold before we closed on our house, wasn't it? So, and we just by faith. Now, that's a childlike faith now. And it was something that was given to Joshua. The Lord spoke that to me. I said, let's just go and obey God. Let's do it by faith. And we got it sold. We got moved here. We got this house, which is a whole nother story. We didn't have enough money for the house, actually. But the lady said, would y'all like to look at something else? We say, no, we want this house. But what are you going to do about the money? God will provide, we said. Okay. She was so mouthy about it. Okay. And I said, I don't know where it's going to come. We don't have it. But he provided. He did. You know who provided the money? Her husband. He walked up and handed me a check for $1,000. Didn't say a word and walked out. Got instructed and drove off. I'm like, he said, can you get this to the bank? I said, well, I started speaking in tongues. It wasn't tongues, but it sounded like tongues, you know. You bet I can. And so we were able to close on the house. We were $1,000 short. And the real estate woman's husband gave it to us. I paid him back. He said I didn't have to, but I said, oh, no, I'm going to work something here. But just faith, y'all. Listen, if God places it in you, believe him for it, even though you can't see it. That's why I say money is no object. And oh, by the way, when we saw this house, we came back, me and my wife and our little children. They were little children. They just aged or younger, and in 1989, so my youngest daughter would have been, four years old. So anyway, we got the oil out, anointed everybody's hand. I say, let's pray, and we formed a circle in front of the house, and Lord, we claim this is our house, we want this house, and we oiled up our hands. I say, now everybody go around the house and touch it, and say, I claim this house in Jesus' name. I claim it, and the little kid was going around, I claim this house in Jesus' name. I claim this house, and little Leroy was saying, I claim this house in Dita's name. I claim this house in Dita's name. And so we got the house, y'all. You know why? I didn't have no better sense but to believe God. I had no better sense but to believe him. That if we said it, and he gave it to us that it was going to come to pass. It's going to come. So find your thing that you're looking for, that car, and just go ahead on, because God already spoke to you now. Right? So you got to. It's in your hands now. But it's yours. It's already yours. Amen? Y'all say amen now. Come on. Hallelujah. Verse 6 in Joshua 6. Woo! Is it getting hot? And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets. And the reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout. Listen at this. First of all, imagine the folks are marching around the city, a walled city, and imagine what the inhabitants are saying. Boy, that's one of the most idiotic things I've ever seen in the world. But by the way, when we were walking around our house, the neighbors was looking out through the blinds at us. What are they doing? Yeah, that's fine. And Joshua commanded the people, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. That is a key component of the instructions here at Jericho. So y'all, there's sometimes when you need to be quiet. Y'all could go in and say amen. Now don't get. There's sometimes when, you know, we need to be quiet and just walk in it. Just walk it out. See? And then sometimes when it's time to shout. Hallelujah. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went out continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. All of this was spoken, just walking around and speaking. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab, only Rahab shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and troubled. In other words, there are some things God don't want you to touch. He don't want you to take home with you. He don't want you to want. There are some things when he blesses you, he wants you to leave right there. Amen now. We need to be listening closely to him. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So even God knows what's valuable. You know, take the silver and gold and bring it to the treasury. See? So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell flat. It fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So all this Joshua fighting going on, they went in after they marched around, and the wall itself fell flat, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. So they were apparently were accursed. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. So they remembered. They remembered Rahab. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's house, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout the city. You know, Rahab is referred in another place of Scripture as being the wife of Salmon. Salmon was one of the two spies that went in. And in turn, she became the mother of Boaz. And Boaz married Ruth. Remember Ruth, the book of Ruth? Boaz married Ruth, from whose son Obed, Jesse, the father of David, came, through whose Jesus was born to. Rahab found herself in the lineage of Jesus. Rahab, in the lineage of Jesus. Matthew 1:5 says that Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Salmon was the prince of the house of Judah. He was one of the two spies that went in. And thus Rahab, the one-time heathen harlot, married into one of the leading families of Israel and became an ancestress of the Lord by faith. So when you say, well, it's just the Jewish line. You need to go back and read the genealogies. We've got a woman who was a harlot and an idolater in the line of the Lord, who is your Lord. Rahab. By faith, she hit the two spies. By faith, the wall of Jericho fell down. But it didn't stop there. We are still benefiting from the faith shown by Joshua taking the wall of Jericho and by Rahab protecting the spies. And our Lord is in that lineage of Rahab. So I want to encourage you. I don't know how dark your past has been. And we all have had some dark past. Some of us have been to jail. And some of us, I say us, were supposed to go to jail and we didn't. Amen. Not everybody in jail is supposed to be there. Not everybody that needs to be there get to go, okay? And so no one gets to look down their nose at anyone. Sometimes you just manage to outslick it or the Lord help you or something like that. But no matter how dark your past is, look what God did in the life of Rahab the harlot. And not only that, look what God did in the life of Joshua. And we didn't even mention Caleb. But Joshua was the only one of two that believed that God meant what he said and would take the land. That whole generation of Joshua and Caleb died in the wilderness. Even Moses didn't get to go in. Even Moses died before he went in. But the ones that believed God remained alive till the next generation that went in, and one of those two led them in. Because of his faith. He was still strong. He was still like a young man. Caleb was just as strong, just like a young man. He said, I feel just like I did 40 years ago. I'm telling you, believe God, folks, and trust him. I don't care about, I do care, but listen, we walk by faith, not by sight. You keep looking at your circumstances, you're going to be defeated all the time. But if you look at what God has before you, and what God tells you, and walk by what God is showing you, walk in the Word, because the Word tells us what to do. The Word tells us how this is done. That's what the Word is for. It tells us how it's done. It's like a manual on a car. You need to follow the manual that came with the car if you're going to get the car running right. If you go get a manual that's incompatible to the car, you're going to mess your car up. You want the manual that came with that car, with that make, with that year, that matches the specifications of that car. And if you follow them, it'll run every time. And the manufacturer will say, here is the manual. This is how it goes. And they give you a manual, or they sell you a manual. And as long as you follow that manual, you will be okay. But when you stray from that, then you're going to mess something up. Car going to be bumping and jumping and exploding, and all types of things will be happening. Might catch on fire, anything might happen. And the same thing with the Word of God. It tells us how it goes. He's given us a manual, then His Word. It tells us how this is supposed to go. You might want to set the points in the car to certain because you like the way it sounds. It sounds better than what the specs say. But down the road, you're going to wish you had went with the specs, because you're going to mess up everything not going with the specs. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Did the Lord bless you?
Yes.
Well, Father, thank you for your word today, for this wonderful teaching on faith. My God, this faith thing is just, it's so powerful. My head spins after these messages, Lord. But I'm so grateful for this. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And okay, Brother Oliver, please stand at your feet, brother. Lord, this man is now standing to his feet. And I pray for all of us. Pray, Lord, for all that he does and everything that he sets his hand to do. Lord, it'll be met with blessing. And that he will have good success, just as you said to Joshua. Father, that he will learn and continue to learn more about how to walk in your word and how to walk by faith and not by sight. And I thank you, Lord, today that you are blessing him now, and you will continue to bless him, and you will continue to bless this man's hands. Now, brother, I want to say to you, that you're not praying enough for others. Okay? You're not praying enough for others. Now, you can't make anybody accept prayer. But there are many around you that are in great need of prayer. And there are many around you that will accept the prayer. But I'm telling you today, you're not praying enough for others. Now, when Oliver gets out of the way and stop worrying about Oliver, then God can use Oliver fully, to the full extent that he has to use you. And it's going to be in those hands as you pray for others. Don't be afraid to offer prayer, and don't be afraid to pray on the spot. And if they are uncomfortable, well, let's walk around here and pray, whatever it takes. But you begin to pray for others, and you will see the power of God working through you. And it's going to bless you. Like I said earlier, it will bless your socks off, brother. And it's going to bless others. And then through this, you're going to find yourself more and more prosperous in the land. Are you hearing me? If you obey him. More and more prosperous in the land. And try to keep a dollar in your pocket. Not for you, but for others. At least a dollar. And so when you hit something and someone looks like they've got a need, you say, are you okay? Or I don't know how you do it. You see, I've been carrying this dollar around. Could this help you? And if they take it, go get another dollar and put it in the pocket. Keep it with you. Or two or three or whatever he tells you. And begin to do this. And it's going to be through your praying for others. And it's going to be through your giving generously as the Lord instructs you that you'll begin to see yourself delivered. Amen. This is the year of conquest. And it's the year of breakthrough. And it's enough of you struggling and trying to make ends meet. And trying to get this to happen and trying, enough of that. It's time for you to receive your breakthrough, brother. Do you receive that? I say, do you receive it? In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for coming. I hope to see you again next week or tomorrow, whenever.